Hello again, this is Cyril Stevens from Christmas Valley. It's my joy and privilege to bring you a few thoughts that you might carry through perhaps today or perhaps even longer. I've been impressed, as I mentioned, I believe, in a previous program recently, that different people have sent in and said, you know, we love to listen to this, that, and the other, and we listen to you. It's such a joy to know that people are listening to this program. Sometimes when I sit in front of this microphone, it seems a lonely place and there's no congregation to have the feedback of the congregation into the words that I'm saying. And so it tends to be a little clinical at times. It is such a blessing to have heard from so many different people lately that they listen to this program. I hope you will enjoy the Word of God. I've been taking you through prayer. Let's think about prayer. We get into the first book of Kings, and we find a man who we heard in Sunday school could run faster than a chariot and horses pulling it, a man who was old by the terms of the day, yet he was so near to his Lord that he uses the expression, "I only am left. I'm the only prophet left that you've got on earth." And God says, "No, that's not so. There are 7,000 people that have not turned away from me, and they're there. Now you concentrate on trusting me and being obedient. Never mind the criticisms of the people around or your criticisms of the people around." Old Elijah is such a forthright fellow. I would share with you from the 20th chapter of 1 Kings, where the apostle says, "I'm not prepared to put up with all that's going on in the country today." Rather like some of us are saying about our situation in the country that we live in today. There's wars today and rumors of wars because we are in the last times. But Elijah had to cope with the same sort of things. Everybody seemed to have turned away from the living God. And he admits to himself and to whoever will hear him how it is that he is the only prophet left. Then he has difficulties. Whenever we isolate ourselves, we insulate ourselves. And isolation and insulation become very close to each other. Elijah had predicted that there would be a drought in chapter 17. There was a terrific drought, and a woman was there to feed him, and he was to go to the local village. He was to ask the first woman he met to feed him. And she says, "I can't do that. I have nothing. In fact, I'm collecting twigs to make a fire, to bake a cake, a bread cake, to eat that bread cake, because I've got just enough flour to make the cake and just enough oil to mix it in the cake, and that's all I've got left." Now, none of us have reached that stage in our normal walk of life. There are so many people that pick up and help us and watch over us and care for us. Churches are not as active as they perhaps could be, but the churches make sure that we are all right. I was impressed just the other day. Someone turned up with some food, a quiche, homemade, and it was still hot from their oven. The lady and the husband said, "We've come to eat dinner with you." And they sat down at our table and we four ate the quiche. My wife had said to me, "What are we going to eat today?" "The Lord will provide." That's always my set answer because he always does. She was asking the question, a very normal question to ask. But at the beginning of the day, we ask the Lord for our daily bread. At the beginning of the day, we asked him to preserve us and deliver us from evil. At the beginning of the day, we spend time in his presence, asking that he will be so close to us that we will be aware of his presence all the time. Now, I lay in front of you here. Is there something in your life or heart that is causing you to not believe God? God is a very present help in time of trouble. He knoweth that we are dust. He knows that we are blown away by every wind of doctrine. He knows what we have need of. Before we call to him and cry out to him, he answers us. God is our friend. Now, let's look at this lady that fed him. She said, I'll do as you say. I'll do exactly as you say. Now, he had been fed by ravens, and for quite a little time he was in the wilderness, and the ravens had been feeding him. I've watched the ravens bring their carrion across the fields, and I've watched what they eat, and so I hope he fared better than that. I hope God knew where there was some good meat and not the scruffy stuff that they seem to eat today. But God is on his throne. He remembers his own. He will not desert us. He will not be thoughtless of us. And he will keep us. Now, I want to take you a step further. After that Elijah had been with this woman, he had said that God was on his throne and so on, and the widow's son got taken ill. She immediately ran to the man of God and said, what's wrong with my life? Is God rejecting me? Is God giving me a bad time over the sinful past? And Elijah went to the Lord and he said, will you heal this woman's son? Three times he laid upon the body, the dead body of the boy, and eventually the boy came to know. Now I know that you are a man of God, said the woman, and the word of the Lord is in your mouth, and it is truth. That's the 24th, the last verse of the 17th chapter. Obadiah comes, and he has a session with Elijah. And every time Ahab sends out his friends and his people to find Elijah, they find him all right. They get burned up. Obadiah says, now hang on a minute. Let's not get too hasty. You've burned up the captain of the men that came before. I don't want to get burned up. So can we have a discussion? And Elijah said, well, what do you want? And he said, I want you to be here. If you'll say that you're going to meet with Ahab, you tell me truthfully, you will still be here to meet him when he comes. Don't run off. Don't go away. I have to go away to meet Ahab to get him to come and meet you, but you be here. I don't want to burn. And so Elijah says, you can go. Well, now, here is the message. And it's very interesting to me, some of the details of this, because there are 600 plus prophets of Baal. If I've said this to you before, I do apologize, but it's such an interesting area, because the prophets of Baal could not make fire. Now, Elijah said, would you agree to this test? And the test is, I will take a bullock, you take a bullock, you slay yours, I'll slay mine, you prepare your own altar, and you put the pieces of the bullock on the altar, and I'll do the same on my altar, and then we will pray, and the God that sends down fire, he is the God of heaven. Oh, they said, yeah, that's fair. And the prophets of Baal were so convinced that they could ignite the altar that they led the people up the garden path, like politicians do today, telling us one thing, doing something entirely different, pretending to believe as we hope they believe, but actually believing nothing the way the scriptures go. And so we have in the 20th verse of the 18th chapter this terrific message. Old Elijah says, right, you tell Ahab, meet me on Mount Carmel. Tell him to bring all the prophets of Baal and all the people that will come, bring them there and let them see who God is. It's kind of interesting. He shames the worshippers of Baal. He says, you know, maybe your God is on a journey and can't hear you. Shout louder. Maybe your God is asleep and isn't listening. Shout louder. And so on. And the people do this. Then, as their custom was, when they wanted something from God, they took lancets and they split the veins in their arms and they poured the blood out on the altar and they let the blood spill on the ground. And God didn't ask them to do that. Now, God doesn't ask us to do a lot of things that we say he does. What he asks us to do is to be his friend, come close, live holy and righteously, and be as near to him as we can, and he'll do the rest. And you know, we come up with ideas and all sorts of schemes and programs to bring us nearer to God. I heard one preacher some years ago now, but he said, this program that I'm presenting to you will help you to be holy. Well, it wasn't the program that was going to make the people holy. It was the word of God that was making the people holy. It was the blood of Jesus already shed that made the people holy. And because Jesus had lived and died and gone to heaven and then gone back to heaven, because Jesus was the resurrection and the life, this Lord Jesus, this precious, dear Lord Jesus Christ, why, he had already saved, he had already given, and he had already arranged that life would be everlasting. Do you have everlasting life? Well, you do if you're trusting the Lord Jesus. Well, anyway, let's look at this because to me, it's fascinating. The prophets of Baal can't get their God to wake up or whatever and present fire. Old Elijah, he says, answer me, O Lord. Answer me that this people may know that you, O Lord, are God. This is the 37th verse of the 18th chapter. Do something, O Lord, our God, that you have turned their heart back again. You see, the children of Israel at one point were walking with the Lord, and now for some reason they had gone off at a tangent and were believing all this nonsense that the prophets of Baal were telling them about, and they were believing that. If your eyes are off the Lord Jesus Christ, don't expect the coming elections to change your life, because it won't do a thing in the way that you think. That's listening to the prophets of Baal. That's listening to people who don't know God. That's people who have made up their God, either the God of education or the God of science and so on. They're whispering in your ear things that you don't need to listen to. Some people say, if it's there, you claim it, and it's yours. Be careful. Be careful, because we are in front of the Lord Jesus, and he keeps us humble. Well, old Elijah says this, Then, verse 38, the fire of the Lord fell and consumed. We need to see what happened. Elijah built the altar of 12 big stones, representing the 12 tribes of Israel. He laid the pieces of the bullock on top of the kindling wood that he'd put on this altar of stone. Now listen to this. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt offering, that's the flesh of the animal, and the wood, that's the kindling wood. But now listen to this. And the stones and the dust. And Elijah had said, soak this with water. And they soaked it three times with water. And then he said, bring more water and pour it in the trench that I have dug all around this altar. Fill up the trench with water so that it cannot ignite. There's no hint of any self-combustion here. A hot day it may have been, but it wasn't evaporating water. I share with you this. This fire licked up the water that was in the trench. Now, when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and said, oh, Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God. Then Elijah said to them, seize the prophets of Baal. Do not let one of them escape. So they seized them, and Elijah brought them down to the brook Kishron and slew them there. Now Elijah said to Ahab, go up, eat and drink, for there is the sound of the roar of a heavy shower. So Ahab went up to eat and drink, but Elijah went up to the top of Carmel, and he crouched down to the earth and put his face between his knees. And he said to his servant, go up now and look toward the sea. So he went up and he looked and said, there's nothing. And Elijah said, go back. Seven times he said this. It came about at the seventh time that the servant said, behold, a cloud as small as a man's hand is coming up from the sea. And Elijah said, go up, say to Ahab, prepare your chariot and go down so that the heavy shower does not stop you. In a little while the sky grew black with clouds and wind, and there was a heavy shower, and Ahab rode and went to Jezreel. Then the hand of the Lord was on Elijah, and he girded up his loins, and he outran Ahab to Jezreel. Now, that all happened. This is a piece of scripture that most people avoid talking about. But if ever a devil was born, it had to be you, Jezebel. Why is it that a woman can be so awful? But we come to the 19th chapter, verse 1. Now Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and how he had killed all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah, saying, so may the gods do to me, and even more, if I do not make your life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. Now here's a shocking thing. And verse 3 tells us Elijah was afraid and arose and ran for his life, and he came to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey, about 8 miles, into the wilderness, and came and sat down under a juniper tree, and he requested for himself that he might die. This is what he said. It's enough now, O Lord, take my life, for I am not better than my father's. He lay down and slept under a juniper tree. The importance of this is sort of a broom tree. he just laid there and he went sound asleep. He lay down and slept under the juniper tree, and behold, there was an angel touching him, and he said to him, "Arise, eat." Then he looked, and behold, there was at his head a bread cake baked on hot stones, a jar of water. So he ate and drank and lay down again. The angel of the Lord came again a second time and touched him and said, "Arise, eat, because the journey is too great for you." So he arose and ate and drank and went in the strength of that food 40 days and 40 nights to Horeb, the mountain of God. And then we read what happened at Horeb. But I want to hesitate before going any further and say to you what a dreadful thing that he was frightened of a woman. Why would he be so scared? Why would he be so frightened of this woman Jezebel? And he ran. He had the living God with him. He had just killed by himself 600+ of the prophets of Baal. She happened to be a Baal worshipper, and she was furious with him, and so he was frightened. What scares you about life? What is there that's so frightening in your habitat, wherever it may be, that you run away from God, or you run away from a situation, and God has to put you to sleep and wake you by an angel and say to you, "You're safe, you don't have to run"? I believe this with all my heart, that we're about to see some things that we could only speculate until recently. And that is, there's going to be pestilence. There's going to be all kinds of terrible things take place. There's going to be famine. There's going to be drought. We've already got that in the Northwest here. There's going to be all sorts of things go wrong with the economy, and we are going to run. We're going to run to the pundits. We're going to run to the people that are supposed to know how to get us out of the mess that we've put ourselves in, and nobody but ourselves has put us there. I was listening to a TV program, and it was talking about what was going on as far as our economy was concerned. And they referred back to the days of Kennedy and Lyndon Johnson. And they referred to the time when people were trying to equalize the races in this country. I lived in England at the time, and I thought, what a splendid thing that was to do, that there should be no racial issue left. And quite frankly, for years, I didn't bother myself. In this country, you'd had your racial upsets and put things right and all that, and I thought it was done. And then this year already, we have seen terrible things happen, and it's been called a racial war, racial politics. It's really the black against the white against the black. And it seems to me, as I've listened to the various news programs, that both are equally wrong and equally right. There seems to be a need to come together and understand God is on his throne. But these are the last days. The Bible says so. These things will happen. It's beginning to happen. If you've ever heard cows stampede, you'll understand what I'm going to say now. When they start to stampede, you hear the rumble of their hooves on the ground. The noise is collective. And eventually it booms very loudly as the cows get level with you or close to you and pass you, you hope, and leave you standing or whatever it is you're doing, the noise gathers. Same thing. It's like this cloud like a man's hand that Elijah saw. Notice Elijah did as he was told. He prayed and was obedient, and that's all God asked him and all God asks you. Let's pray. Lord, will you please enter into our experience, that as we see all these things changing in our country, and as we see the various things beginning to shape up to cause us great troubles and anxieties, we ask that we may have peace with God, that we may stand still and see what God shall do. Be the God of fire. Come down, consume those things that are unrighteous, and help us to follow you and put to death in our own lives the things that are wrong, that we may follow you all the days of our lives and dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Like David, Lord, we cry out, we would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of God than dwell in the place of wickedness. So will you bless and help us for Jesus' sake. Amen. Hey, thanks for listening. Bye-bye.